Welcome to episode 431 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Apostle John makes a curious editorial comment at the end of John 20, right before the final chapter of his gospel. He writes this in verses 30 to 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John admits that his account of the ministry of Christ is incomplete. He couldn't possibly record in writing all that Jesus said and did. He restates this point in the very last verse of his gospel, John 21, verse 25. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. But John is content to only share some of the story. He expects that more will be revealed to those readers who will believe enough to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus did many other signs. John selects the signs presented in his gospel to explain Jesus and bring readers to faith in Jesus as Messiah and God. This really isn't a book about signs. It is a book about the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior. The signs are helpful as they reveal Jesus. The Gospel of John, all the Gospels, all the New Testament, indeed all of the Bible, was written so that we may believe, not that we might doubt. Charles Spurgeon tells us that there is no text in the whole book which was intended to create doubt. Doubt is a seed self-sown, or sown by the devil, and it usually springs up with more than sufficient abundance without our care. John 2 verse 11 speaks of the beginning of signs, and throughout his gospel, the apostle lists a variety of different signs. John 2 verses 1 to 11, water into wine. John 4 verses 46 to 54, the healing of the nobleman's son. John 5 verses 1 to 15, the healing at the pool of Bethesda. John 6 verses 1 to 14, feeding of the 5,000. John 6 verses 15 to 21, walking on water. John 9 verses 1 to 12, healing of the man born blind. John 11 verses 1 to 44, Lazarus raised from the dead. These are signs that show Jesus' power over life and death, his control of the elements, his concerns about the everyday, his ability to meet the needs of the individual as well as those of the crowd, and deepening our understanding of the purpose of the Sabbath and challenging our notions of sin. The greatest signs of all are found in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Collectively, these signs provide a strong foundation for faith in the man who is the main character in John's gospel. That faith isn't a blind leap. It is a reasonable step based on strong evidence. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. John understands that faith in Jesus as Messiah and God has value beyond the honorable recognition of truth. It also carries the promise of life in his name. This is life that transformed John himself, and he wants that same life and transformation for all who read his gospel account. Do you believe in Jesus? This seems like a strange question. To your ears, it may sound like the same question as, do you believe in Santa Claus? Or do you believe in aliens? But the question, do you believe in Jesus, is asking far more than do you believe that Jesus Christ existed or exists. The true meaning of the question is, do you believe Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is, and are you trusting him as your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is God in human form? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, for which you deserve eternal separation from God? Do you believe that the sacrifice of Jesus, God incarnate, is the only adequate payment for your sins? Do you believe these things? If so, great. But believing the facts about Jesus is only part of the equation. Biblical faith, biblical belief, is far more than believing certain things to be true. Biblical saving faith is also trusting, relying on those facts. A chair is a good illustration. You can look at a chair and believe it is made of materials strong enough to support your weight. And you can believe that it was assembled correctly. But that is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is sitting in the chair. It is actually relying on the chair to hold your weight off the ground. Are you trusting that Jesus is your Savior? Are you relying on His death as the full payment for your sin debt? Are you depending on His resurrection as the guarantee that you too will be raised to eternal life after death? If you understand and believe what the Bible says about Jesus, and if you are trusting in those truths as the basis for salvation, you are saved. You believe in Jesus in the biblical sense. If you are uncertain, if you truly believe in Jesus, but you desire to, or if you feel God drawing you to faith in Jesus, the next step is simple. Believe, trust in Jesus, rely on Him for your salvation. Allow God to turn you from sin to forgiveness and salvation.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
This belief isn't complicated. Our response is as simple as ABC. A, accept. B, believe. And C, commit. It isn't always easy, but it isn't complicated. You can have life through His name. One biblical scholar writes this: through His name does not mean through the naming of His name, but through the power of the person who bears the name. In the Bible, the name of God is not merely the name by which He is designated, but all that He is in Himself. When you believe in the name of Jesus, you have access to the full power of who Jesus is, and that power can change your life today and for eternity. Did you believe once, but life has gotten in the way and shaken that belief? Have you believed intellectually but never committed? Have you never taken the step of surrendering your life to Jesus? If you would like to verbally express your faith to God, here is a sample of what you can say. God, I know that I have sinned. I know that my sin separates me from You. I know that if left unforgiven, my sin will separate me from You for eternity. I believe and trust that Jesus Christ is my Savior, that He died to pay the full penalty for my sins, and that He rose from the dead on the third day. I am relying on His sacrifice alone to bring me into a right relationship with You. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for saving me. Help me to grow closer to You each and every day for the rest of my life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you prayed it with new meaning, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to me at panderson@1010thrive.org. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.